Our scripture is from the First Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians. This is from chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 12 and 13. And this is from the New Living Translation, which is a very modern translation, and so the wording is the kind of words we use. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. And then from verses 12 and 13, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. He does that with His foundation. My father was a minister, but one of his passions was carpentry. And I did like Jesus was known to do when he was a boy. He spent time with his dad doing carpentry things. I did with my dad too. Consequently, building things out of wood has always had a fascination for me. I also enjoyed, and I still like to watch, any workmen who are building anything, including from the ground up, such as when they begin a structure by pouring the by pouring the concrete foundation on which they would later be building up a building, any kind of building. And I especially like seeing the building of new homes. I used to watch how sometimes they dug down into the ground until they found rock, and then how carefully they poured or laid a foundation on that rock. And this would be absolutely true for building a church, starting with the foundation of what was proposed by Jesus for His, for His first church. Thank you. Someone's going to give me a glass of water. You recall where Jesus started with the building of His church, starting with the foundation of the rock solid strength and faith of His followers. Matthew 16, 18. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And one of the parables by Jesus, this one in Luke 6, speaks about the importance of building our lives on the right foundation. Luke 6, 46. It's talking about people who are building. And he said, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid foundation on rock. When the flood came and torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. And I believe all of us have seen the lives of people fall when they were hit by some torrents of life because their lives were not built on the right foundation. We've also seen the lives of strong men and women who were able to withstand the pressures that come with the floods of life when those came up against them. The Apostle Paul, apparently knowing this parable of Jesus and having also observed the importance of the foundation for building, used the analogy earlier in this same 1 Corinthians epistle. This quote is coming from chapter 3. For we are God's, excuse me, we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one is to be careful how he builds on it. Thank you so much. For no one can can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. When Paul said, I have laid a foundation, he meant he laid the foundation of Jesus. That was there in verse 11. I believe Paul is going all the way back here to what he references in our text of today, over from chapter 3 now to chapter 10, his reference to when Moses led the enslaved nation of Israel out of Egyptian captivity, and God gave them their new foundation as his nation. All of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Paul says, there is no other foundation, said that in chapter 3, on which you can build a meaningful life except the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that bears repeating over and over and over again. That, my friends, is an exclusive claim. And I want us to now consider this exclusive claim. Yet I also want us to realize how inclusive it is. Jesus Christ is the only foundation adequate for everyday living. Jesus Christ is the immovable rock on which we can and are to build our lives. All else is like shifting sand that may appear to be firm today, but tomorrow it moves and our lives are left in ruins. Going back again to 1 Corinthians 3, Paul has described in metaphors the many possibilities of how we may build our lives on the foundation of Christ. These are all around us. He says, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, any one of those qualities built up on the foundation, each one's work will become obvious. For the day will disclose it. And the day, of course, is Judgment Day. The world in which we live changes so rapidly that we're always in danger of falling or being swept away, which makes our foundation so critical to us. Jesus Christ, Son of God, invites us to build our various lives only on Him. When we speak of building our lives on Jesus Christ, we're not talking about holding our own or someone else's personal opinions concerning Jesus. Rather, we are talking about building the personal commitment of our lives on the Jesus Christ as revealed in God's scriptural word, and the building of our lives on that as our solid and our only foundation. Since we get bombarded, I think, with it from every newscast these days, we're all familiar with the financial instability of our times today. One day we hear that the stock market hit new highs on Wall Street for the day. Maybe even the next day we hear or read about Wall Street in panic because of sell-offs, and even hear of big companies going bankrupt. So I'm almost ashamed to admit that I looked at a couple of articles yesterday from the Wall Street Journal. I did it just in relation with this sermon. One was about a money manager with an excellent performance record who is very excited about one particular area of the stock market. Another story was about looking for cheaper places to live. And I quote, a reader with net worth of $5 million wants someplace that isn't stiflingly hot, has good health care, and isn't in California. Well, I think those kinds of stories are enough for us to agree. Financial news is our times. I gave you that to lead into another story. This one about a man who lost all of his financial holdings in the latest American financial crash, that 2008 collapse. And the man was a broken man. He walked his street, Oak Street, with his head down, shoulders slumped. He became a disagreeable neighbor with his formerly friend neighbors and was unkind to the children who lived near him on Oak Street. Apparently, from this change, the foundation under his life had been financial success. When the Wall Street crash of 2008 came, his foundation was swept away. But there were other people living on that same street that he lived on who also lost pretty much of their finances, yet found a way to go on in life cheerfully. And the difference had every appearance to be the foundation on which this sad man's life had been built and the foundation of his neighbors was very different. Today, perhaps, it seems as never before, people need to consider what foundation they're going to build their lives on. Well, it seems that way, but that's a basic consideration, I think, that's always been there. Foundational consideration, you might say. Jesus taught, and Paul believed, that there is no other foundation that will meet all of the pressures of life except the firm foundation of God and faith in Him as found in Jesus. This is the starting point that will govern all of anyone's, all of your life. Jesus is the foundation of our beliefs, or in religious terms, the foundation of our doctrine. The truth is, all people hold tightly onto beliefs that support the kind of lives that they live or that they seek to live. Some of those beliefs are erroneous. Some are truly true. Some are correct, some are incorrect. Jesus said, "I am the truth." And the truth is, Jesus Christ is the only foundation for our beliefs, beliefs that are adequate to support us in life, all aspects of life, beliefs about God. The basic religious belief of all is in what we believe about God. Christians believe the New Testament when it says that our number one way of knowing God is through His revelation of Himself in Jesus Christ. God, who spoke in various ways, such as through the prophets, spoke to us by sending His Son. That's Hebrews 1:1-3. Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. That's John 1:14. In Jesus Christ, God was pleased to dwell fully, Colossians 1:19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. Jesus Christ, the Scripture is very clear, is the foundation of our beliefs, belief with complete faith in what and who God is. Anyone who does not believe in Jesus as the Son of God does not have these foundational beliefs in Almighty God. Beliefs about us as people, about people. A person must have some undergirding belief about human beings and human nature. This area of our belief structure is also foundational for a meaningful human life. Christians believe that Jesus Christ showed us not only what God is like, but also what humans can and should be like. Jesus always, in every situation, exhibited the right relationship with the Heavenly Father, His Father, and with His fellow humans. He did not live His human life focused on Himself. In other words, never self-centered, but rather gave Himself freely to God and then gave Himself for others. For others. This is as proclaimed by Jesus while He was talking about His followers as His, the Good Shepherd's sheep. Jesus said, John 10:10, His focus was on their life, their needs. I came so that my sheep will have life and so that they will have everything they need. His life was motivated by an inward dedication to his Father God, and that dedication sustained him in the right direction throughout all of his earthly life. A memorable incident of this in his youth was his time of 3 days in the temple conversing with the religious leaders and his explanation to his worried parents. Luke 2:49. Jesus said to them, "Why would you need to search for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be here in my Father's house, consumed with him?" And then, of course, even when he faced the imminent pain and suffering of death, Luke 22:42. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, it is not my will, but yours be done." From childhood in the temple to the end on the cross, always about others rather than self. The Christian belief is that there's no other foundation belief about humans that is adequate except that that we derive from the human life of Jesus of Nazareth. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus, born of human birth in Bethlehem of Judea, lived for 33 or so years in the land of Israel, died by crucifixion just outside of Jerusalem, was buried in Jerusalem in the tomb prepared for Joseph of Arimathea, and rose alive after 3 days from that burial tomb, anyone who does not believe that same Jesus is the prophesied and delivered, now divine, now human, now again divine, Son of God, that person doesn't have the correct Jesus kind of beliefs about human beings. Amen. Beliefs about our world. We can hardly live right each and every day without right beliefs about the world and the people we encounter in our world. Those who believe in Jesus Christ believe that God in Christ created the world and that in the beginning and ever since, He has created all people who live in this world. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word being Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And we have the love and care of God over our lives while we, the people He creates, are entrusted with the care of God's world under God's sovereignty. Because all of us are made in the image of God, and this is God's world, we have dominion over the world. And we've been assigned care for all of God's creatures. All of this is documented beautifully and faithfully in the first chapters of Genesis. And these beliefs are the only beliefs that are adequate for the kind of life to which we are called, that we were created for, to live in this God in Christ created world. Anyone who has alternate beliefs about who God has assigned from the beginning to govern and care for His world has the wrong beliefs about our world. No Mother Nature demanding that we hug her trees. This foundation has been laid. We do not lay it. Rather, we build on it. According to the text I read you earlier in 1 Corinthians 3, there is no other foundation. Jesus Christ is a foundation that has already been laid by God the Father. He is as certain as the law of gravity, as certain as it is the sun that lights the world by day, lights or does not light our moon by its reflections by night. God is as much reality as the changing seasons or the earth on which we walk. Just not as predictable as the timing of seasons experienced in southern Illinois. We do not choose a foundation. Rather, we choose only whether we will build on the foundation or whether we will try to build without a foundation. I said we do not choose a foundation because there is no other foundation. Any other appearance of a foundation is a sham. It's a fake. It's a deception. Repeatedly, the New Testament stresses the exclusiveness of the Christian faith in that the only God has disclosed himself fully in the person of Jesus Christ, his only Son. Therefore, and for absolute reasons, we need not waste our time debating whether you can find some good in all religions and thus try to legitimize them. Rather, we only profitably use our time to focus on discovering who God is and how we may serve him. The writers of the New Testament were inspired to believe that there are no rivals to Jesus Christ. He's the only complete revelation of God, and thus the only foundation on which we are to build our lives. In Galatians 4:4-6, we're told that God, who had disclosed himself in the history of the Old Testament, came to us in the fullness of time in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son, so that we, only through the sin-cleansing ransom of the sacrificial shedding of the lifeblood of Jesus, receive reconciliation from our sins with God and adoption into God's family. This exclusiveness of the Christian faith is accused frequently by non-believers as problematic and as arrogant, but it is not. They do have a problem, but it's not Christianity. It's their incorrect beliefs. Rather than being exclusive, we are under the orders of God to tell all creatures of the world of this salvation. We're to try to get everybody in, because it is not to negatively exclude, it is to include by positive invitation the expression of the supreme love of Almighty God. And mark you this, the other foundations are not foundations at all. What appears to be other foundations are but mirages in the desert. For too long a time, in some of the early centuries after Jesus, the institutional church assumed full authority over the lives of men and women. It made the claim to be right with the church was to be right with God. It claimed to be the foundation on which people could build their lives. But this claim proved false, for even though according to God's word the church is a bride alone is inadequate. Or the church is the body, but also a body alone is inadequate. Jesus Christ is the head, the foundation on which the body, the church, is built. The church is merely a witness to that foundation as its base and is comprised of the plank by plank family of God, people who have built on that foundation. And some people believe they've had some deep, mystical, spiritual experience in their religious pilgrimage, something that makes their experience to be the foundation of their lives. But it is God's word, not some person's mystical experience, that affirms the foundation of life is Jesus Christ. The church forever exists to hear, to build on, and to proclaim that truth. We always face the temptation of building our lives on some false foundation or other. Such mirages may be beautiful, may be inviting, but they are like the sand on the beach. They shift with the tides. A house that is built on that kind of foundation, like the house in the parable of Jesus, will fall when the waves and the winds beat on it. And as I've said, it bears repeating. So I'll repeat, Jesus Christ is the only foundation for life. You can trust your life to him. You're to build your life on and around him. It's the great theology, as almost all of our great hymns are, that we sang in hymn 509, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. My own, your, our one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord.